This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Patty Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. So, welcome to another episode of Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio and on podcast. I hope and trust everyone is well. And if you're a parent with school-aged children, are finding ways to survive now, being a teacher, a cook, a cleaner, a nurse, a mum, a dad, grandparents, and in my case, a therapist to my very fragile five-year-old, but I'll get to that later. I, for one, have been applying. I have actually been applying or looking into online for jobs at Morrison's. It's good pay. It's local so that my kid can go to school, but it's all full of mums applying. So there's no space at the inn. However, maybe you're having the time of your life and if you found a new bond with your child. So today we discuss, yes, you've guessed it, the long awaited topic of homeschooling. And so to help me back to our original panel format, it's the Fitbit loving, must get my steps in. Have you done your steps today? She's back from under the pile of last minute accounts. Comedian and regular fave, Gemma Beagley.
Hello.
Gemma's back.
Hello, adults.
Hello, adults. We've got another adult, and this is now her third time. So it's I think it's your third time back, so you're officially a regular. You would have seen her a lot on your telly screens, on all the panel shows, probably recorded before this COVID, including Live at the Apollo. She was an Edinburgh Newcomer Award nominee. Remember those days? A complete powerhouse of stand-up. It's mum of one all the way from America to East London. Oh. It's my two-for-one cocktail pal, Sarah Barron.
Woo! Oh, my God, that made me feel so powerful, that intro. That was amazing.
Oh, you're welcome. We're all powerful women, aren't we? Yes. We're doing everything, Sarah. We are
everything.
Well, are you doing, first of all, okay, so your setup, tell us your setup. So you are, who you're at home with, who are you in lockdown with?
I'm in lockdown with my husband and my son who turns 5 in 2 months, and it's the three of us.
In 2 months. So when I say you're doing everything, do you feel the load is balanced between you and your husband?
Yes, it is. I think there were a few weeks there where he sort of had more on. So I was like, listen, because you can do that thing where you divide the hours up evenly. So it's like technically you're doing 5 hours and he's doing 5 hours, but it's like you've got the shitty. Can we swear? We can. No, or can we not? Would you rather?
Shitty's all right. Just not F or C.
No problem. I'm not going to do it anymore because it's a project that I'm working on generally. So it would be like I would do from 10 till 4, right? And then he'd have to do from 4 till 7:30. You know, so it was equitable, but I had the crappy get through the middle of the day.
Yeah, the time slot.
So I've done the bad time slot, I would say, about 65% of the time. And I feel I say this to make other people feel better whilst I have this awareness that it's going to sound somehow narcissistic. I can't imagine anyone's hating it more than I am.
Well, Gemma might beat you on that, but...
Okay.
So he's in reception.
He's in reception, however, and I mean to keep this sort of light and fun and whatever, and it's fine, but my son started seeing an occupational therapist in November because there were like these funny, weird things, like he couldn't jump normally, you know, and you're sort of like, and everything about him socially seemed completely normal, but we were like, and then the teacher was like, oh yeah, he can't hold a pencil. It's like he looks at a pencil. So the point is, he was assessed by this occupational therapist, but he has additional learning needs because basically, short version is he has a weak core, and that manifests in an inability to concentrate even by a five-year-old standard. So I'm just saying, when everyone's like, oh, I know it's so hard, I'm like, I know it's hard for you, but my kid has this thing. It means it's harder for him. Okay. Yeah. So my life is worse than yours. And also, I just think, like, some parents, if you're a mom who has ever done crafts with your kid voluntarily, I've never done that because I hate it. So I hate it more than you. So that's how I've come to that. That's how I've come to that conclusion. So my homeschool has mostly been about keeping screen time close to as regimented as I would be with it if he was in regular school. But other than that, I'm like not getting stressed out or trying to not. And the second he's like, I don't want to, I'm like, fine. All right, fine. Go play with your toys. We can read a story. We'll go outside. Fine. What about you, ladies?
So what role, well, I'm, first of all, this is not funny, but it's a little bit of advice because I think our boys might be similar, but my boy's older than you. And he's had the whole thing of like school saying, yeah, we've got to put him in this special session once a week where, because he's not, he can't jump. So we, I was like, okay, so he's doing a jumping class.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like a...
So, I don't know. He's like, yeah, he's sort of like, it's not coordination, but it's like, I don't know. I just thought we'd end up going, yeah, fine, whatever he needs, just do it. And I'm not really paying attention. And so, but the gripping the pencil thing is quite common for most boys. They actually, it's a thing, isn't it? They develop it later than girls. This is why you see girls like riding away with their pencil, colouring in.
Hey, mommy, look, here's my cursive writing. And here's a whole letter about how much I love you or hate you or whatever. Yeah, and then mine, I'm just like, I can't send this to the school.
Like and Hannah, you have two boys.
So Al is six. Two,
right. I've got one, yeah.
And Huxley's five. So we've got all the different ages. And I think we can all say basically they all hate handwriting, but it is a thing with boys. So don't worry too much there. You're in good company. I think, like, yeah, we were told to do all these sort of like get these stressful things and do a lot of Play-Doh because it's good for.
Yeah.
Do you have all that? Do the strengthening. But so where does the school send you work, Sarah? Or
yeah, so it started off with. You know, like there was like a 9:15 to 9:30 session and then you get these homework assignments and then all these parents were complaining. I mean, I think in terms of the whole school, all these parents were complaining that they weren't doing enough. So then suddenly there was all this other stuff to be attending. And I'm
God
like,
what, the school wasn't doing enough.
Yeah. So what I think, I live in Stoke Newington, which is like a pretty posh neighborhood, yeah. I think. So it's like, and I think this school, its reputation, it's a state school, but I think its reputation precedes it. So I've only ever met lovely parents when I wait in the school queue, but holy moly, the people who participate in the WhatsApp chat are okay, cool. And then you're reading these school emails that are like, hi, we've had a lot of complaints that, and I'm like, who is asking
which one of you bitches
more? Which one of you people doesn't have a goddamn job? Like, what? You want more? You're worried about your child falling back? Sorry, but I mean, I can't. Are you worried that your middle class child in Stoke Newington is going to fall behind? Oh my God, no! Like, shut your trap, you moron. So all I can imagine, it first of all, it's made me hate everybody, obviously. I run into people who are like, oh, my kid's in school. I'm like, you're not a key worker. They're like, yeah. And I was like, how is your kid in school if you're not a key worker? I don't even understand this stuff. So I know someone whose dad is, she's like, well, his husband works for Google. I'm like, working for Google is not being a teacher or a nurse. Like, what are you talking about that your kid is at school?
I know, someone's an electrician or something, I think. And I was like, what? And
oh my God.
And when I was at the end of my tether a couple of weeks ago, I said, I was talking to Gemma and I said, right, that's it. I think I was talking to another friend of mine who managed to get her kid in, and one of the things was that she was sort of Just struggling. So she had to keep saying mental health
and keep saying vulnerable and cry.
So I sent a long email and I said, like, I'm struggling. And I said, look, Hux has been, because he's on the Senko register thing, which is basically, you know, to help with his sort of, I don't know what it is, just being a bit behind. But, you know, they don't like to give any sort of diagnosis this young. But I think he's got a bit of the ADHD. To me, that's the boxes he seems to tick. In my Googling. But so they phoned me and I thought, yes, you know, come on, we're gonna, and she went, right, what we're gonna do is send you a little pack home. And I was like, I don't want another pack. Like, just take it. Pack.
You're like, I will put a gun, if I shouldn't, you know, I don't mean to joke, but you're like, oh yeah, would you mind sending me a few more leaflets? Could I just have a few more leaflets? All that I can even begin to wrap my head around is that there are parents of 8-year-olds who want to be able to sort of sit their kid in front of the laptop that is in fact the class, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sort of go to work as though it was a normal situation, because an 8-year-old, you can just sit in front of a computer.
Yeah.
So those people want more. That's all I can begin to understand. But for kids this, you know, that are this young,
there's a reason why statistically it's the primary years apparently that are falling behind the most, and it's because they need, I think we can all agree, would you agree, Gemma, you need to be with him, you can't really send him off with
forget it.
Of course not.
No, because they go, and I got to think, this work should take you no more than 3 hours a day, right? I work. Like, if I had, you think I've got 3 hours? A, you think I've got 3 hours, and it's more than 3 hours. A 20-minute video of some arsehole woman singing S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Like, this 20-minute video takes about an hour and a half.
Yes, yes.
Time bends.
Can I tell you something? Also, I don't say it from a judgmental place. I probably do a little bit, but more from like a, so we can all feel better, is that I'm constantly running into kids in my son's class. Like today we did, the weather was nicer, more people were outside. Mm. And the kids are with nannies or care. You know what I mean? It's like,
They're not with mom.
They're not with mom or dad. And so it's like, oh, well, sure. That's how this stuff is getting done. And that, it's like, my son is always, he behaves the worst with homework, stuff like that, around my husband and me, and the best if someone else comes in to help with it, you know, which I think is very, very common for kids.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They don't, we're mom and dad, we're not, you know, we're the comforter, we're not the teacher.
Yeah, we're not a teacher. These, you know.
No, and people go to university and they study for 4 years to learn how to do this.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and I sort of think to myself, are people, you know, imagine if everyone had to do their own tax returns every single day. Imagine that. You know, and I wouldn't be going, now you know what it's like for me as an accountant. You know, it's just like, it's not what people are trained to do.
Oh. So we all can't understand why anyone, I have got one mad friend who does homeschool both her boys.
Then that is her calling, and that gives her a sense of purpose. And there isn't another thing that gives her more joy professionally or something. I don't know.
I think this was before COVID. He wasn't getting on at school. He was miserable. And I don't know how she coped, because my first response would be like, well, I'll just put him in another school. Wouldn't be, let's do it at home.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you feel so, like, if a friend of that said that to me, you know, first of all, heaven forbid you're in that situation, that must be terrible. Gosh, you know, all the best to her. The question I would go to is like, what we have to get at is, why is the kid having such a hard time in a regular school environment? And like, that's the thing that has to be explored to, you know. to make any real
true
progress.
But you know, people that are really into all that, they just believe it's not, it's a school situation is not for everyone, don't they? And it's, you know, it, but it's a whole different setup. I mean, they have like after, they have like homeschooling clubs so that they do socialize with children, and it's all about going with them. And but the difference is that he does learn really well at home, and that's the difference. All I think we could all say our kids are not listening. My child turns into an octopus.
Can I tell you about some young adults who I met who were homeschooled?
Here we go.
So, no names mentioned, obviously, and I doubt they're listening because I doubt that they're allowed to use the internet, so they will never hear this. So,
you're so cruel.
So I was having a cup of tea in Edinburgh at the Edinburgh Festival with a lady and her two homeschooled young adult children. And they were telling me about this show that wasn't going very well. They couldn't get anyone to come in and see it. And I said, what's the show about? So mum says, well, I play the piano. She's a classically trained Oxford graduate pianist. I play the piano while Lily,
Humphrey.
Lily bakes muffins. She bakes muffins on the stage. And the son, Robert, tells amusing anecdotes about a modern take on mobile phones.
There you go. There you go.
And I don't know why no one's coming in. And the flyer, she handed me a flyer in case I wanted to come and see it, had a picture of a mobile phone on it, a picture of a muffin, and a picture of a piano. Now that is what homeschooling does.
That's what it does.
Oh my God, this is what, if this keeps going,
this
is what's going
to
happen
to our children.
But that's the thing.
Especially
we're not
you two, because you're performers.
Yeah. We're not leading with what they want to learn. The thing is, after that conversation with the Senko teacher, she sort of did sort of say, look, do what you can. But if like he wants to go somewhere else, then we would. But we haven't got the time, you know, not being selfish, but we're trying to work as well. We haven't got the time to like, if he suddenly starts, like he's been asking about, I don't know, what animals eat a lot recently. We haven't got the time to sort of plan out a whole lesson plan and plan it out for his needs as well, because he hates writing. So we have to try and do all this stuff where it's like writing in shaving foam and all this sort of stuff with his finger. Have you had all that, Sarah? Because I don't want to use a pencil. So you get the shaving. I went to Poundland and I bought loads of shaving foam because my husband doesn't actually use shaving foam. So spraying all that on a tray. And it's like not being horrible. I can do maybe that one day a week, like be that parent. But I haven't got time to plan all that out. And that's the difference.
I've got a question for you both.
Yeah.
What is it about this expression that lights a fire underneath me? Okay. Just do what you can. Just do what you can.
Oh, and that makes you feel insane.
Right. Is that, what is so wrong with that? Why does that
that's so interesting?
It's meant to comfort you. They're obviously saying.
Does it make you feel patronized too?
Maybe. Or it's just too open-ended.
Like, oh, poor Gemma, you just do what you... Are you a lady who likes some very fixed regulations? Is it knocking up against
Maybe. I need a list to tick or something. I don't know. Okay. There's just something about that. Just do what you can. Okay, what if I can't do a thing? What about that?
Right.
Is that okay?
Right.
Is that something?
Right. I do agree with you. It annoys me and I don't know why.
This is fascinating because I'm an easily annoyed person. I think of myself that way. And that actually doesn't do, whenever that's been said to me, I have felt relief. So I'm so interested. Right. I go, okay, great. Thank you. Then I can F off about whatever. I'm not going to, like, I'll really take that at face value and go, great, we did what we could and it was this. And then we stopped.
Have you had any sort of conversations with the teachers then, Sarah? Have you had any like actual telephone conversations or something?
Yeah, I don't know if they've been like, yes. So basically I've said, because you get worried, don't you? Like there was a, you don't want to, you feel like you're breaking them. Sorry, I'm the lighting and the angle of where I'm set is so excruciating that my self-esteem is plummeting even lower than it already was as I look at myself on camera. This is why I wear makeup every day and like my effing acne. But anyway, so we asked a couple questions and they were like this, because what you're trying to do is you, part of doing stuff you don't like, is part of life. Your kid, like, I know you don't want to do that. Part of your life is doing stuff you find unpleasant. That's an important lesson. But yeah. When are they supposed to learn that? You know, all this stuff. So I wanted to be pushing him in the right way whilst understanding that, like, this is harder for him than another kid who can jump or whatever.
Right, right.
So the teachers we spoke to at one point, she was like, the second he gives pushback, stop. That's what she said. She's like, if he just goes, I don't want to, go, all right, we can go do another thing. And so I've really, really stuck to that. And I would say that we're doing probably about half or slightly more than half of what's assigned to us.
That's great. And I'm going to probably annoy Gemma because I'm going to say some of the classics of like, Gemma gets annoyed at everything.
Just like, I love it.
They wouldn't finish, if they're at school, they wouldn't finish everything, would they? That's another thing to tell yourself.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Do they? I don't know because I don't know because I am not in school being a teacher. Exactly. That's his business. What he's doing at school is his business and his space.
Exactly.
I don't talk to him about work. I don't say, oh, guess what Rob said in the office today. I don't, it's my business.
And can I tell you also, Gemma, like this thing that, so before the pandemic, you know, a year and change ago, there was a woman, professionally high achieving, brilliant. I liked her so very much, older than I am by like a decade. And I was trying to schedule something in with her and she went, ooh, that day is going to be hard for me because I'm still learning the education system here, but it was either GCSEs or A-levels or some major thing that teenagers study for. And she went, oh, my daughter has her GCSEs that week or something like that. And I was like, your daughter has her GCSEs? So you can't do a meeting at noon? Oh. And I don't know how old you are when you take either of those tests, but you're well into your teen years, right?
It's like, oh, yeah.
And yeah.
The idea that, like, my mom would have been at home 25 years ago, like, because I was studying for something, was so over my head. Yeah. And I just went, this is insane to me. Like, his school is not my job. He's got to figure out how much effort he wants to put into this. If he's not scholastic, if he's not academic, he's got to muddle through it. Because I think he'll have a bad life. You know, maybe it'll be bad if he doesn't have a certain level of skill, but it's not my job that he excel in school. Because I don't want that responsibility. I don't want his education to be that kind of project for me. And that was what I thought before this pandemic hit. You know what I mean? And so I'm just like, this isn't, you go figure out who you are. You go figure out what your skills are. And this is a very bad headspace for someone who then has to homeschool their own child.
That's so interesting. So did your mum kind of, you know, because I've heard mums say that all the time, that, you know, even just like not being able to come out for it. We can't come out. We've got GCSEs going on at the moment. You know, like it is their world. It is their whole world. The whole house is living that world. And I've just gone, oh, okay. But I don't know this because my mum completely left me to it. And until now, you just saying it, I was thinking, oh, I wish my mum had pushed me more because maybe I'd have done better. But actually, it was a good life lesson because later on, I had to pick my shit up. Because I hadn't worked hard at my GCSEs, I had to pick it up later and it was a life lesson. So, yeah. So did your mum, Sarah, did she leave you to it?
I was a real self-starter. You know what I mean? I was that kid, like, I wanted to get the most points for having read the most and I wanted, you know, but before when there's a point, isn't there, when school starts becoming about properly being smart and not just a hard worker. And that's when I started to fail. But when I was not literally fail, but instead of being like an A+ student, because I did all my homework first, you know, and it was just a memorization game, when it was about like, do you really understand chemistry? oh no, I don't. And then my grades started to fall a little bit, but I was a really regimented student and that was just part of my vibe. And my brother wasn't. Mm. And no, he was like I was an A minus and he was a B minus. B.
That's still
and
good.
It had no bearing on ourselves as adults. And my parents were like super present. It just wasn't their job.
That's so interesting.
You say this thing like parenting, like a parent is a noun, but parenting as a verb like came about in the 90s. It wasn't a thing. And I think like another thing I used to always hear people say before I got pregnant, and I would like, oh, that makes sense, is I'd hear people say like, you have to let your kid be bored. Like it's a good, healthy thing to be bored. And I would think, oh yeah, that sounds really right to me. And I would talk to people about it. People go, yeah. Oh, totally. Of course. It's so important. I don't know anybody whose kid is allowed to be bored ever. I don't. Every friend I have, it's like, oh, well, they do this class on Thursdays and this after school thing on a Wednesday.
Right.
And I think we're going to start doing this class on Saturday. And I'm like, it's 1 o'clock and we're just starting to pull it together. And I think, I don't know. I like us to have like a coming together. And then even as a 4.5-year-old, I like my son to be like, all right, daddy's upstairs if there's an emergency. You're right. Sitting here with your toys. I'm going across the road for 5 minutes, you know, just like that they can sit on their own. By the way, he's also like so terrible at games. He can't play in groups that well, you know, he's got all this awful stuff because probably I'm a terrible mother, but I believe in the importance of boredom.
Don't, because I have the same thing. I'm like, oh God, is it me? He's not missing. I said to Hux the other day, I said, who are you missing from school? Because everyone keeps saying to me, oh, you know, when I see other mothers, oh, isn't it sad? Oh, they're so missing their little friends and all this. And I go, yeah. And then Hux just doesn't talk about the friends at all. And I said to him, who do you miss from school? And he went, Miss Harvey. And this is his dinner lady.
Oh.
He loves adults. He's just, I think, because of, you know, whatever he's got going on, he finds it hard to connect with other kids. And so adults get, you know, obviously they connect. So, yeah. And he just, but I was a bit like that. I sort of liked adults for a while. It took me a while. And now I hate adults. No.
True.
So who does, Sarah, for you, who does the, well, for both of you, really, who does the majority of, who's better at the homeschooling?
That's good. I think it really, this is such a boring answer, but I think it's very much the same. It's like,
that's good.
We both have days where we bring the right energy to it and, you know, fine. And then days where it feels like it's going to break us. A thing my husband does that makes me very embarrassed is like once in a while, he'll just be feeling the vibe. You know, he'll just be like, he's bringing the energy to homeschool and he'll wind up turning, like, it'll be like, oh, and when you're done, something about a planet. Okay. When you're done, make a video of yourself showing. And my husband will wind up spending an hour just editing video footage. Don't you dare. Because what that bullshit is like, daddy did your homework. Like, I remember being a kid and there'd be those kids who would turn stuff in and you'd be like, you're 7. You didn't do that. Your mom or dad did, and they need to get a life. Okay. And let the 7-year-old do the homework. And when my husband does it, I'm like, you're humiliating the family. So sometimes Jeff, my husband, will have this like flush of energy and really throw himself over into a video. And then I feel shame about my choices in my husband. But other than that, we're both sort of like, you know, pretty good. I mean, by which I mean, you know, we do okay. And then something happens to break us. And then we're like, I'm out. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to cry. You take over. And that
yeah.
Helps.
Okay. That's good.
What about you, Gemma?
Yeah, well, I'm not completely alone, but I'm separated from my son's dad, and he is not very he's not very good with technology. He's not academic in any way. He struggled at school, so he's not he's a warm body, I suppose. That's what he is, really. Sorry. But I the videos thing, actually, because I've been doing that, which is like, do you know what? I'm going to take a video of you explaining what's just happened, because actually I can't bear sitting there for 25 minutes while you write two sentences. I don't have the patience for it. But there was, I mean, I turned into like some kind of raging director, where it's just like, okay, so explain the partitioning method. And it's just like, well, the partitioning method is maybe how we fucking got her in the first place. But whatever it is, this method to add numbers out. And he got it wrong. And I was just like, no, you did it right last time. 20 takes of this one video.
Oh,
and
no.
Then I'm just, what am I doing?
Yeah. But wait, Gemma, I know this is the worst, but that is the stuff. Hopefully we're back on the 8th of March and this is all over.
When
that happens, I'll give that video one go. And the second I'm like, no, we're cracking under the pressure, I do like a mark as done thing on Google Classroom. And then I just wrote, hey, swear to God, we kind of, you know, we did about 3/4 of this.
Yeah.
But the video was going to break us. But I think Eugene understands that 2 + 1 = 3 or whatever.
And the thing is, it's me. It's because the reason I don't want to send the video is because I'm sound like a maniac. No, you did it wrong. It's not because he's doing it wrong. It's because I've turned into this maniac.
This is what happens. I think that I also, like, I did, again, at a small age, I did really well in school, less so when I was a teenager. And my husband did as well. And a lot of this is forced us to, you know, like, all my thing is like, well, you're just, honey, you're going to be you. And we are going to just support you, be you. And, you know, guys, you got to really understand when you're a parent that they're not you. You know, and it's like all that bullshit and watching my son be like, oh, like all this stuff that he sees an occupational therapist for, and hopefully it all gets worked out and he can excel and whatever. Great. But maybe it will always underpin something in a way that means he struggles a little bit and never really loves it and isn't particularly academic. And I'm like, just sort of this early on being like, oh, okay. Okay, we mostly do well in school in this family, but oh, okay, you know, and it's been like such a, it makes you hate yourself.
Oh yeah,
so much for being so effing predictable, you know, with that baggage that you bring.
Well, I think this is I've got annoyed with some of the mums in my class. I mean, they've not said, but I can tell from how they're speaking that they are making sure, even if the children are crying, I think, that they finish every single sheet and everything. And I'm like, what is the point in that? Because all they're doing is they're not enjoying, there's no way the child is learning anything. They're not learning anything because they're not enjoying that. And also we need to be realistic. Oh. Yeah, I know you saw an arm of
just
a husband.
To see your husband. That was so fun. So you guys, it's another person.
It's
not in my house. That's so exciting.
Okay, it's coming wave in a minute. Woohoo. I've got what I'll say now. It's just, we've got to be truthful to what's going on. And, you know, I'm so passionate about this because on so many levels, like one, I think like the school needs to know what's really going on and being realistic. And that's why we don't panic about it being completely perfect and finished, because I think they should know. And all it is just that it's the parents having their own ingrained thing of like, must get all the work done. Like we would now, we're adults, that's fine. Cause we're like, must get everything ticked off. So it's not about them. And it's like, We know from, like, Alex pointed out from his, like, progress book thing that we got. And we were like, he said, remembering that progress book, which it showed all that, this is when they were at school, that there was loads of sheets that weren't finished. So he's clearly not finishing all the stuff. So that's real, you know, that's real life. So not...
Do you think that the school cares?
Well, I was going to come on to teachers next and how you feel about teachers. Now, I know from a friend who's she used to be a stand-up and now she's a teacher. And I'll be honest, actually, another friend who's a teacher, they don't care. Well, they care, yeah. but they're also like humans and they've just got to do their job and they're clocking in, clocking out. So I always think that when I'm writing my message to Mr. Johnson, I'm going, right, so we just to let you know, he didn't do any writing today, but we talked a lot about animals.
Oh,
you know, yeah. that's what I do because I'm like, I want him to yep. know that we're doing the work and it makes me feel better. But then does he really care? I said, like, look, I took 20 minutes trying to get him to write one word and he was stressing out and I'm not going to push him. And we had then had a nice conversation about it. And, you know, and sometimes I'll video the conversation and send him that. I think, sod it, you know, just to but again, it's just showing we're doing something. But I don't know if they care.
See, SATs are cancelled. Ofsted is cancelled.
Yeah.
Who's asking? Who's checking? Now, as I've said to you before, Hattie, I was on a, I've got this group of friends and two of them are teachers. And I watched my face. We were on a Zoom call a few weeks ago. And every time any of those teachers spoke, moaned about work or anything, my face, I looked at it, I was like that. No face. Yeah. Because just this projection of it's your fault, you bloody teachers.
Why you know? Hating the teachers so much, Gemma?
No, I this was a few weeks ago. Every week I'm projecting on somebody different. That week it just happened to be teachers.
And was it from a place of get back in the classroom? You're making too the union for me. But because I don't at the moment, but I had felt that previously. Was it that? Was it these unions care more about like if you get COVID, you'll survive, but you know, children in poverty are dying. Where does it come from?
An individual thing of just like I'm trying to work, mm-hmm. and also do the job of the teacher on my child, and you're a teacher, and you're talking about how difficult it is for you right now. But you're not teaching your own kids. You just got a job to do. I've got a teaching job and my own job to do. And it's just envy. Do you know what I mean? It was just envy. Yeah. That's all it was. And I go through stages of just being like, oh, hey, look, that they've got a tough job to do as well. But
they're just following orders, aren't they, at the end of the day?
It seems to me like such a mix. Like three, you know, my best friend in the States is a teacher. My best friend here is a teacher. And another friend of mine is also a teacher. All three of those women would give a hand to be back in the classroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not how everybody is. But between my son has two teachers in his reception class, and it's very, I mean, I could be wrong. My impression is that one of them, she is younger, and I think both of them are excellent teachers. She is younger. She's got two small kids herself. And I just, you know, I feel she's another one of these people who would give a hand to be back in the classroom. And then the other one, wonderful at what she does. I feel like if left to her own devices, she wouldn't mind. She'd be real happy to wait to be back in the classroom until like next September when everyone is vaccinated and all, you know, and all this sort of stuff. I think that, but my resentment was more towards you. Like I would listen to US podcasts about like US news and stuff like that. Mm. And when I would listen to why US schools weren't in session, I'd become livid because some of the expectations of what some of the teachers' unions were asking for sounded. I mean, I'm talking so out of turn, I should probably just step away from this. I don't know what I'm talking about. All I'll say is, over here, I had all this anger at teachers. Now that I've watched people struggle through and be like, oh, you just want to be back and you can't be, I have much more sympathy.
Yeah. Right. And also my a relative took up a job as a teaching assistant really like since the start of the pandemic to earn some money. She had to go and get a job. And by the sounds of it, the teaching assistants are doing a lot. These guys are on minimum wage and they are doing what we're doing as parents, but with maybe 15 kids. And it doesn't sound like a nice environment. But and I also do believe that they just want to get back and do the job the way that they were trained to do it.
Yeah,
I also think that whoever is doing the PR for the teachers' unions, they need to fire them and get new people because I don't think the way that we've all come out for the NHS and yay DPD drivers, right? You know, we're all but for some reason, the teachers are just not doing their union PR people are not doing a great job.
The thing that has gotten my back up at every turn is that if I ever listen in on like a show, a podcast, something, right? And they always try and get in like opposing viewpoints. So we hear either sides of the argument. And I've just, every time I hear an argument for teachers not being in school, it's someone saying, oh, well, I'm self-isolating with my wife who has this, who has stage 3 cancer, you know, someone with a very tragic story where it's like, oh, of course you shouldn't be in school. No, heaven forbid you have to go and teach in person. But most people aren't in that situation. Like, you know, the number of teacher deaths, like deaths from COVID because teachers are in the school, as I understand it, is almost non-existent. Like it doesn't, you know, but I think that there must be some way in which divvying it up in that way, going, oh, well, okay, isolation works for you, but not you. So you don't have to go to work and we'll keep paying you, but you have to be, it's so complicated that you just keep, I don't know. I also think, and Hattie, you were saying before, like a friend is a teacher, your friend is a teacher, she used to be a stand-up. I think that part of what is so complicated is that teachers, it seems to me, I think it's the most important job in the world. I think if we paid teachers like we paid investment bankers, we'd solve all our social ills. Like, I'm for it. Mm-hmm. I do feel most teachers come to it because it's a calling.
Yeah.
The other section of people come to it because they had a thing they wanted to do that didn't work out. Spade a spade. I'm calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, okay? The classic.
So there are a lot of yoga teachers, a lot of life coaches, a lot of teachers who wanted to do a thing when they were 22 and now they're 42 or 35. And that thing, the musician, the actor, the comedian, the writer, the painter, yeah, didn't happen. And now they're teaching and they like, if they won the lottery tomorrow, they wouldn't keep teaching.
Right.
And I think sometimes there can be, you know, and I also think like, so I don't know, that feels like an uncomfortable kind of thing to say. And I think, you know, as someone who like wants to go back to work so badly, but also the day that I know that that can happen, that's going to bring a lot of fear and a lot of like, okay, I've wanted this. Here we go. Okay, I can get back to work. Okay, you know, and I just imagine that that must be so present for so many people, this desperate need to be back in whatever your office is combined with.
Yeah, the only, I was just thinking that actually.
Terror.
I feel like listening to you, I've been quite naive because everyone I know has given me the impression they, as teachers, they want to go back because, you know, but a lot of them are people that live on their own and stuff. So they're just like living quite boring lives and they want to get back to doing all that. But actually my sister, who's a teacher assistant at a secondary school, which let's be honest, it's a lot more grubby. I mean, you know, this is why I think they should do the staggering. I think it should be primaries go back first. Not just selfishly, but because the teenagers, you know, they're going out socializing as well at the weekend. Well, every night I'm seeing them park. It's easier to, you know, keep our little 5-year-olds at home. But my sister did not want to go back to school because she was just, yeah, because it's all dirty teenagers. It was like, it's really hard to social distance. They don't keep the masks on. And yeah, so she's thinking about, yeah, she was one of them. She's been quite happy just doing online stuff.
I think that's so understandable, but I think that that is part of the thing is that plenty of people want to be back in tomorrow and plenty of people are like, I do not miss teaching in person. And that is
but they're like that anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My mum hated teaching. She hated it. 40 years that she did it for, you know.
Oh wow.
I didn't know she did that long. And now she's a psychiatrist.
Psychotherapist.
That's what my mom does. How old was she when she switched professions?
How long she qualified? I think she started training at about 62.
Wow.
Yeah, she
lease on life now?
Yeah, she was a widow. My dad died and she was just like, right now I'm going to live.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She's a real inspo.
How tragic and beautiful.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's great. It's brilliant.
She then went and did nice things.
Yeah, and lived her life, yeah. A real inspo.
My husband's mum was a teacher, and it does seem like she did all that training and then she didn't do it for that long because she just hated it. And it does seem, it does seem a shame. But we're not teachers, thank God. And it's funny that so many comedians, really good comedians, were teachers, wasn't they? It gives you that, the sort of you've got to go out and perform. And also I was thinking about it with, Esther Manito, and like, because she was a teacher and she's like risen relatively quickly, really. And I was thinking, it's that element of now we're learning that you got to fight for your place and fight for respect in the class. And that carries through to doing stand up. It's a handy thing to have. So do you think there's rumours, isn't there, that they might do extra when they do go back? They might do longer days to make up for what they've missed. But not to get you too excited.
Actually, I had not heard that.
The teachers, I just can't see.
They won't go for that. They will not go for that.
No. Yeah, because I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I actually think, again, with small kids, I don't really.
Yes, a long day
is enough. But I heard something about like, summer holidays will be shorter, and I thought there's no way that teachers will
be honest.
Concede to that.
I mean, look, we all love our kids, but this was not what we brought in for. No. And I can honestly say to you, if someone had told me this was going to happen, I honestly don't think I would have had kids. It's been so hard. Especially with having the little one. Like, I can't set anything up. Literally, the toddler ate a bit of his work and I had to take a picture of this crumpled bit of work.
Is he in nursery at all, your little one?
He is. Only two mornings a week. It's something. And we try to get as much done then because he's a big distraction. I just don't know how people do it when they've got like six kids and they're all,
My God, forget it. Yeah, I mean, hashtag grateful that there is only one and that, imagine. Imagine having like one iPad between four kids.
We've had all the comedies of the just pulling out different devices that like, Ali's like, my work gave me this a couple of years ago. Let's try and use that. So that, because like one of us would be on a Zoom meeting and then he's got to go on his Google Class meeting. And then it's like, but this doesn't compatible with this laptop. And oh, God. I know it sounds a bit first world problems, doesn't it?
We're going to move over to it. That's where we are, hon. I mean,
where we are. So unless there's anything else you want to ask or wrap up, we're going to wrap up this homeschooling. And let's hope that we are back on the 8th of March. It's the day before my birthday. My birthday's the 9th of March, so it will be the best birthday present. 8th of March is also International Women's Day. So, come on. It has to
come on. International Women's Day has to be the day that children go back.
How perfect would that be? Who would like to... Sarah, is there anything you'd like to promote apart from... not homeschooling.
No, I have nothing.
Yes, you have. You got your own podcast, really? Haven't you?
It's not out yet. It's not going to be out for months.
Okay.
It's done, but I made it with a friend who has a scheduled C-section on Saturday, so we had to all get it done.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be like months of trying to
edit
it.
Can you tell
us
what it's about? Is it top secret?
No, it's tentative title is Settling. So what we do is we interview experts about famous couples throughout history. So it could be the Obamas, John and Yoko, Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. We speak to an expert on that couple and we like learn about the couple, then use it as a springboard to essentially complain about our spouses.
To moan about your spouses. Brilliant.
For our own relationships. Tight. 30 minutes. In and out. boom, filthy. But you learn something. That's the sell. If I had to guess, I'd say it'll be out in June. I think it'll be June.
In time for when we're all out listening.
And don't need a podcast anymore, really. Someone said to me recently, I was like, I'm not going to do a podcast. They're done, right? We're done now with podcasts. And they were like, no. I know that everyone we know has one because we work in comedy, but it's still the dawn. It's still the dawn.
Yeah, and things have become habitual now. There are going to be certain things, you might not believe it, that aren't going to stay. A lot of online stuff because people just got used to it now. But that's a whole other podcast.
Whole other conversation, isn't it?
Gemma, what would you like to big up?
Yep. So this Saturday is Funny Mummy's
Saturday the 20th
at 2:30. We are doing Funny Mummy's live at the Leicester Comedy Festival. So it'd be lovely to have people on the screen. Tickets are available at Leicester Comedy Festival. Come and sit and stare at us.
Yeah, you can sit and stare at us. It'll be me, Gemma, Viv Goskop, and Athena Kablunu. So that should be good. And get all us four into an hour. But before that, if you'd like to, I'm going to be trying a new hour at the Leicester Comedy Festival online.
Oh my God.
No, first time, Sarah, for 4 years. And I was meant to be doing it all last year and it didn't happen. And I thought, sod it, let's just try it online. Anyway, let's say goodbye, first of all. Thank you very much, ladies.
Bye. It was so nice chatting with you guys.
And thank you so much. And let's hope our kids are back to school soon. Never have to be teachers. Bye. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of the Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.